Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. I was at a teen retreat up at the Fort Hill Christian Youth Camp over the past 2 days, and the theme for those 2 days was servitude. And there was a lesson that was on Jonah, the unwilling servant, a lesson that was on Christ, the greatest servant, and I was given the task of talking about the Apostle Paul, the converted servant. And so many of the things that we talk about today, I imagine you've probably heard before, but I want to try to refocus on how we look at the Apostle Paul. There's so many great lessons that we learn from him, the life that he had. Certainly the Apostle Paul was one that before he met Christ Jesus on the road to Damascus, that he wasn't living a life that was right in the sight of God, even though he thought he was living a life that was right. The Apostle Paul said, I lived with all good conscience unto that day that he had met Christ, and he was doing what was expected of him to go and to do. He had risen in the ranks of Judaism. He had surpassed many of his peers. He talks about how zealous that he was of the old law, and he believed that when he was going out persecuting those men and women, bringing them into prison, that he was doing what was right in God's sight. We've talked about the Apostle Paul before when it came to the death of Stephen and how it was that the men that laid their coats at the feet of Saul as they stoned Stephen. And what we talked about was the idea that Saul was kind of in charge of that. That it went more than, hey, can you hold my coat real quick and I'll be back. That it was Saul that was one that was consenting, Saul that was approving, and if there was any feedback or problem or pushback from Stephen being stoned, that it would be Saul that would stand up and take responsibility for all of that. Well, on that road to Damascus, as we read in Acts chapter 9, that Saul asked that question, Lord, what should I do? And we know that Saul was given direction to go and to talk to Ananias, and Ananias had received information from God that Saul was on his way. And Ananias said, boy, I really look forward to meeting Saul. That's not even close to what Ananias said because of all the things that Saul had done within his life. Ananias answered and said, I've heard of this Saul. I know this Saul. He persecutes the church. He throws men and women into prison. And you want me to meet with Saul? Well, it was that Saul came and Ananias taught him the truth. And we see that Saul was baptized. Scales fell from his eyes. Actually, before his baptism, scales fell from the eyes. Remember, when he'd seen that light on that road to Damascus, that they had covered his eyes to the point that he could not see. We know that the scales fell from his eyes. The Acts account tells us in chapter 9 that he was given food, that he was strengthened, and he went forth and he taught the gospel of Christ. And Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, became a great vessel, a great advocate, a great Christian in his service to the Lord, to the point that God had even told Ananias, he's a chosen one of mine, and he is one that will do many great things, and he will be shown what he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul became a servant. Paul became a servant. And that becomes ever more clear when we consider who the Apostle Paul was. It's important for us in life to think about, how am I a servant? What do I do to show servitude within my life? And don't get me wrong, I think many of us in here, most of us in here, are servants. I think we work diligently to help others. I think that there are things that we do that we go out of our way and we try to be a servant so that others can find some type of ease within their life so that we can do the work of God. But for me, it's something that I always want to examine. I always want to bring into check, am I doing what I need to do? Because the world that we live in, we get filled with ideas, we get filled with ideologies, with thoughts that simply say to us, being a servant in life isn't the most important thing that you can do. And we find that many that live in this life, they want to chase great dreams that are full of power and full of money. And yet for you and I, for those that are Christians, our greatest goal should be to serve God. Christ Jesus, that greatest servant, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, says that He came not into this world to be served, but to become a servant for others. And His great service brought Him to the death on the cross so that others might live. Christ Jesus, who took that little child and said, "Receive this little child." And keep in mind and remember that in the pecking order of things back in the first century, a child was not real important. That even a slave had a higher standing than what the child did. And Jesus is saying, you need to take the very least. You need to take the very least and receive them in My name. How often do we find there are those that simply we shy away from, or those that we say, I would not go to that person. And yet are we in error of what Christ has commanded us to do? Christ died for all, the gospel is for all, and we're told to go ye therefore into all the world. And what that means is you and I go along. We need to be the light of the gospel of Christ that we can help others. And we need to show service within our life. John chapter 13. Christ Jesus, only hours away from dying upon that cross, comes in and He washes His disciples' feet. It is the Master at this point being the servant. That which was done as far as washing the feet were concerned would have been done by the lowliest of servants, the lowliest of slaves. Oh, what a disgusting job that must have been. You figure you go around in sandals in the Middle East, what your feet must look like. And supper being ended, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside His garment and took a towel and girded Himself. And then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He was girded. John 13, 4 and 5. And He comes to Peter. Comes to Simon Peter and said, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing My feet?" Consider that concept that they would have had of what the Master does and does not do. And the concept is the Master would not do the job of the lowly servant. But what about Jesus? He came not to be served, but to serve. To be a servant for all. And Jesus answered and said to Him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now. But you will know after this." And Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." And Jesus answered him. And I believe that we find dual meaning in what Jesus said. If I do not wash you, you have no part of Me. Jesus said, if I am not allowed to be a servant to you, you can have no part of Me. But what about Jesus washing us now? We talk about being buried in the watery grave of baptism. And if we are not buried in that watery grave of baptism, are we in Christ? Jesus washes our sins away. And if we're not in Christ, if we're not washed, then He has no part with us. Oh, great servant that Jesus was. And how Paul met Christ on that road to Damascus. And he said, "Be imitators of Me as I imitate Christ." That moment in time on that road to Damascus, two totally changed the Apostle Paul's life, or Saul's life. It totally changed his life. Saul, always being a man of conviction, always thinking that what he was doing was right. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 and 10. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, or Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I approved it. I said, yes, this is the right thing to do. But in Acts 23 and 1, he said, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. But his conscience changed because he met the Christ. And he became a servant. There's so many examples of what people leave in life to serve God. What people leave so that God's will may be done. And we look at the Apostle Paul, and he was great in his father's religion. He was built up, he was esteemed, he was zealous. And he left all that behind to serve God. He left all that behind to serve Christ. Are we like the Apostle Paul? That our focus is on serving? That our focus is on being convicted within our heart? Not convinced, but convicted. You know, I can be convinced. I can be convinced that I need to be a servant. But if I'm convicted, I'll go be one. And the Apostle Paul was. And this conviction helped him grow his faith day by day. And this conviction helped him change within his life. So that he began to serve others, not thinking of his own self, but thinking of others. Just as Christ Jesus had done. Not thinking of himself, but thinking of all those that were lost in sin here within this world. Paul's faith grew. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, the Apostle Paul, when he became a servant, it wasn't his own desires that then lived in his heart. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. I have sacrificed in my life. I've made change in my life. It's no longer about myself. It's no longer about the needs that I think I have or the wants that I think I have. It's now about living for Christ and allowing Christ to live in me. And the Apostle Paul said, yes, I live in the flesh. The life that I live in the flesh, I'm going to live it by faith in the Son of God. And we're going to be changed. And we're going to be transformed. And we're going to be pleasing to God if that's what we can do within our life. If the life that we live now is lived by faith in the Son of God. Because it is Christ Jesus who is our example, who is our hope, and is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those that go after Him. When I think of servitude and how that grows by our faith, I think of the purpose that we must have within this life. I've heard people say, before, the purpose of my life is to make others angry, to upset them. And I've known some with that purpose that were very, very good with that purpose. But what is our purpose in life? For all of us in here, take just a moment to think right now, what is my purpose? I mean, I think God has given us purpose. God has given us direction in this life. But as we introspect, as we think of our own life, what is our purpose? What is it that I'm wanting to accomplish in this life? What is it that is important? And we find some that have the purpose of attaining all great riches here upon this earth. And they do it at the sacrifice of serving God. Paul talked about the purpose that he had in his life. If you would, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is such a beautiful epistle of the Apostle Paul. And so many things that he had to say within this that we can learn of the life of Christ, we can learn of the life of Paul, we can have better understanding of how we need to press forward as we go within this life to serve God, to be Christians, to have that hope of eternal life, to know how to live. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." This one thing I do. You ever think about that? What if I do anything in life, what would be one thing that I would do? And I think as we consider the Apostle Paul, the one thing that he did, everything else fell in place in life under that one thing. And I want to challenge your thinking this morning and my thinking as well to say if we have focus in one thing in life, everything that we need will fall into place for all of us as well. The Apostle Paul said this one thing. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, the Apostle Paul, did he have some stuff that he wanted to forget from what was behind? You bet he did. You bet he did. And I can relate to that because I know there's stuff in my life that I want to forget that's behind me. That I failed miserably and I've sinned against God. And I'm going to be able to put it behind me. Say, God, forgive me. God, help me overcome. Help me not to let what I used to be and what I've done in times past affect the Christian that I can be today. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. See, the Apostle Paul had those things that were behind that undoubtedly he became ashamed of. Even though he talked about being in a good conscience, you see that he did those things that were so against God. But now you see, I'm reaching forward. I'm looking ahead. And part of how he looked ahead was to be a servant. He looked ahead to be a servant. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Earlier in the Philippian letter, back in chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, he said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Boy, I need reminded from time to time how I need to be considerate of other people that are around me. Well, preacher, what about those people that are annoying? Especially them. We struggle with it, don't we? We struggle with it. I got people in my life, man, they get on my nerves. Oh, boy. I don't even want to get started on it. Well, what does the Bible tell me? I need to be considerate of them. I need to think about them. I need to treat them like I would if Christ Jesus was standing there himself. Boy, what a concept. What a concept. Jesus said, if you receive even one of these little children, if you receive what is considered the very least, the Apostle Paul put the glory that he could have had in Judaism and became the servant of God. That he did not look upon his own things, but he considered all things that were of Christ. But he looked forward. He wanted to teach. He wanted to share the gospel with others. He wanted them to come to that great truth, that great knowledge that he had, that great information that he'd been given, that in Christ Jesus there is hope. A main purpose in our life. I hope that our main purpose, our one thing that we do, it is to serve God. Because if that is at the forefront of all things that we do, then we're going to be blessed. Now, yes, there will be times of difficulty. There will be times of challenge. But you know, the Apostle Paul, as he looked forward, what did he see in front of him? That hope of eternal life, didn't he? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he talked about the life that he lived. And he talked about how he was ready to die. And he talked about that crown of righteousness that had been promised to him. On one hand, you've got a crown of righteousness that will be received by those that are faithful in Christ. And over here, you've got everything else in the world. And there is no comparison. There is none. There's nothing in this world that can compare, that will last as long as that hope, that promise, that crown that are given to those that are faithful. The Apostle Paul started this letter. Verse 1 says, the beginning, verse 1a says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between a bondservant and a servant. You know, a servant is one that can be forced to do something, can be a slave. A servant is one that has not necessarily made the decision or by their own will or their own accord decided to serve, decided to be submissive. But a bondservant is one that has made the decision. See, in Old Testament times, you may have been a servant, you may have been a slave for a period of time, but you would reach that moment in time where you could be free. Well, there were some that chose not to be free, that they wanted to remain in the situation they were as a slave or as a servant, and they were allowed to do so, and then they became a bond servant because they had made the decision to serve. Paul says, I'm a bond servant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bond servant. This is about Christ Jesus, who made the decision to come down to be a servant for all. Have we made the decision to be a bondservant? Do we willingly serve God? I'll never forget one day at school. Coffee always seemed to be the big issue. I kind of quit drinking coffee a lot after I left school. But who would make the coffee? And I'll never forget, we were in our second year, and one of the first year guys was told by a classmate of mine, you need to make coffee. He said, I don't mind making coffee. He said, I don't mind being a servant. I thought, boy, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Do we mind being a servant? Do we mind being a servant? And I pray for all of us in here that we strive to be a servant, that we strive to do the work of God, that we strive to do the will of God, and that we strive to serve one another. All of us in here have things that we can do to serve one another and to serve others that are outside of here, that we may be a light to help them understand that there is a hope that comes in Christ Jesus. The thing that is so impressive to me about Christ being a bondservant, about Paul being a bondservant, choosing to serve, is the persecution that came. Christ Jesus died upon the cross. The Apostle Paul outlines in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, things that he came under, stressors that he had to endure. He talked about being beaten, being whipped, being stoned, being robbed, being shipwrecked. All those things that happened in the Apostle Paul's life. And he said, I press on. I press on. He said, all those things come upon me. And one of the other struggles was the constant concern he had for the Lord's church and all those places that he had been to. And yet he never failed. He never failed to stop serving God in all things that he did. What a mindset that is. You know, I left the rake in the yard one time. And I only left it in the yard one time because I was able to learn a valuable lesson the next day. When I came out and stepped on the rake and it hit me in the forehead. But could you imagine if the thing you would do would always be like getting in the head with a rake? You knew that regardless of what you did, there was going to be persecution that came, and the Apostle Paul chose to go ahead and do those things anyway. And it wasn't through his ignorance that he was hurt or harmed. It was because he was a Christian. It was because he served God. And yet what we find out, the Apostle Paul, with all these things that he went through, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The Apostle Paul is growing. His faith is increasing. His trust is increasing. His outward man is perishing. And undoubtedly, the outward man is struggling with just the existence of life as well because of all the persecutions that's come upon him. But in verse 17, he says, but our light affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you ever consider that being a servant to somebody, maybe even to the point of doing something you really don't want to do, is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? I've often thought that with things that I just don't like to do. And yet I know they have to be done. It's hard. It's hard. Sometimes to choose to do the right thing in being a servant to God. But friends, I want to say there is nothing any greater that there will ever be other than that crown of righteousness. I pray that we can live our life striving to be a servant with conviction in our heart and purpose in our life and with the strength and desire to overcome the persecution that may come upon us. That in all things, like the Apostle Paul, like Christ, that we serve others. And even for those tasks which may seem menial, that we accomplish them, knowing that it is for the greater good. We're going to close here this morning. If you've never been baptized into Christ, I would ask, why not? We talk about that great servant, Christ Jesus. He died upon the cross so that others may have life. If you believe that Christ Jesus is that Son of God, you're willing to confess your faith. If you're willing to repent of your sins or make change in your life. Repent simply means to turn. Turn from an old life. Turn to where you turn to a new. We will baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You will arise to walk in the newness of life, where that water washes away our sins. That one day, being in Christ, we can stand before Him, being recognized as a child of God. If you're here and you've once taken those steps, but you have things going on in your life where you're not serving God as you should, I want to encourage you to make your heart right, make your life right. If you need to repent, repent, please. If you need our prayers, let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. Let us help you in this struggle that is life as we strive to be Christians. There's nothing that will be more joyous than the day in which we can all be together throughout all of eternity in that promised home of heaven. If you're not ready to go there today, I want to encourage you. Make yourself ready. Make yourself ready. If we can help you in any way, won't you come forward now as together we stand and as we sing.